Hey everybody, welcome again to F This Movie. My name is Patrick Bromley, and I am joined today for a discussion of 1973's Live and Let Die by everyone's third favorite Bond, Mike.
Hey everybody.
We are continuing our James Bond series. We had decided, I was probably like 6 months ago, that we were going to podcast our way through all of the Bond movies, and we're to number three. So sometime right before I die, we'll finish up. But we have done shows on The Living Daylights and GoldenEye. Right. Okay. And tonight we're doing Live and Let Die because we arbitrarily decided that a great place to start was with each Bond's first outing, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Very nice. If this is your first time listening to the show, you should check out our website. We're at fthismovie.net. You can like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. We're just at fthismovie. You can email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com or find us in the iTunes store by searching F This Movie. You can only find all of our past episodes, all 200 plus of them, at fthismovie.net. We're going to be talking about Live and Let Die in a little bit, but I want to remind everyone we are right in the throes of Junesploitation, our month-long celebration of exploitation and genre movies. Every day we have a new category at fthismovie.net, and every day we are watching movies from that category. So like the first day was Cops, so everybody watched a movie about a cop or with a cop in it, which is almost any movie. And then just wrote a little quick review of it over at fthismovie.net. So you should participate if you're not already. Thank you to everybody who's doing it. Everybody's really written some great stuff and watched some cool stuff. And I have these lists now of like stuff I have to seek out.
Well, and that's the best part, right? Is like now, due to these people, to everyone's reviews, there's so many movies I want to catch that I would have never... we're not on my radar whatsoever.
No, I'm amazed at like the depths of some of the stuff that people have dug up. So that's awesome. So thank you to everybody who is participating. And if you haven't already, you should. And hopefully that will segue nicely, Mike, into this question. Have you seen anything good lately?
I have. I've been trying to keep up with Junesploitation. Unfortunately, I missed Cops.
Well, what the hell?
I know. I didn't plan my... evening well, so I'm disappointed about that, but I think one of the free spaces will be a cop movie.
Do you know which cop movie? Is it a surprise?
I don't know that it's a surprise. Right now, I wanted to watch Detective Story.
Okay. I've never seen it.
Kirk Douglas, it's very good. I saw it in school, okay. But I haven't seen it since, but I remember really liking it, wanted to revisit it. I'll just do quick hits.
Okay.
Slasher, I did, that was day two, correct?
Sure, I don't remember.
I did, okay. Slasher, I did All the Boys Love Mandy Lane.
Not that great, right?
No, it's not, and I hadn't seen it before, and you had warned me that it wasn't that great, but it's still disappointing, even going into it. Like, I don't even remember
I don't know what the hype was. I have no idea why people watched it and thought it was the second coming of horror, and that was in, like, 2006?
Right. Is it a matter of we've seen, like in 2006, would that have felt more fresh?
That's my theory.
Okay.
I don't know if that's at all accurate, but when I watched it, I thought, well, it's not really fair that I didn't like this because maybe if I had seen it in 2006, I would have liked it more.
Right.
But yeah, I had the same reaction, just that it was fine, but nothing special.
Not at all. It's pretty forgettable. Then I went on to Troma, and I wrote this on the website, and I was even texting Adam Risky about it, that I think I came to the conclusion that I like the idea of Troma more than I actually do. Mm-hmm. Troma movies. I watched Tromeo and Juliet.
Yeah, that's not my favorite one.
No. It's just, I don't know. I don't know what to say, but it's just not, maybe it's just not for me.
Have you seen many others?
Sure. I mean, I've seen the, Toxic Avenger movies. I've seen Sergeant Kabuki Man, but I don't remember that.
Sergeant Kabuki Man's not great.
Where else? You showed me
Return to Nukem High Volume 1. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's fun. It's fine. Yeah. I don't know. I felt like I was always Team Troma. Because Toxic Avenger was very important to me when I saw it. I was way too young. I'd spent the night at a friend's house, and we just caught it on cable, and it blew our minds.
Yeah, right.
And honestly, my friend had a TV guide. Do you know what a TV guide is?
I do.
Okay, he had a TV guide at the time, and I remember we didn't know what this movie was, so we looked it up after we watched it, and... for some reason, the TV guide was wrong, or we read it wrong, and we thought the movie was called Fairy Tale. Fairy Tale or Fairy Tales. For the longest time, That's what I thought.
I wish it was like out of Africa.
Yeah, I'm like, you got to see Breakfast at Tiffany's, man. They kill a dog.
So you hate Troma. Yeah. That's fine. Rank your hatred of Troma hatred of Ghost Protocol, Timothy Dalton, and Super 8.
I couldn't get Super 8 out.
Put all those things, and
we'll get to Dalton. And then Wednesday, am I taking too long?
No, you're fine.
Okay, Wednesday was...
This is what we're talking about. We're talking about what have you seen lately.
I guess so. Wednesday was Ninja.
Yeah.
And I was going to just Netflix Instant something. And then Wednesday afternoon, I went to the comic store and the Big Trouble in Little China comic book came out, which is like a direct sequel. So I thought, perfect. I think technically there's ninjas in Big Trouble in Little China, but okay. After I watched it, I was like, nah, I don't think they're...
They're sort of ninjas. There's guys doing flips and stuff.
I guess. Yeah. You're not the biggest Big Trouble fan, Chris.
I don't love it as much as I wish I loved it. Like you with Troma. Like, I love the idea of it, and then every time I watch it, there's things I love, like Kurt Russell's performance.
I was going to say,
just the character of Jack Burton is so great.
It is.
That it wins me over.
Right.
There are people who, like, that's their favorite John Carpenter movie.
That is not me.
Right. It's not me either. I like the movie.
Right. I'm more in line with you.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell though is just and Jack Burton is so
And I
great.
I mean I certainly appreciate the fact that the movie is ahead of its time and just the fact that they got it made at a studio and released into theaters is kind of amazing.
So that was my Wednesday. Then Thursday was Serial Killer, and that was the big one for me, because I saw The Boston Strangler.
Yes, which I've never seen.
Also. Oh, it was so... I loved it. Yeah. It was so good, yeah. Let me see. Henry Fonda heads a team that's after the Boston Strangler, and Tony Curtis plays the Boston Strangler, and really, he doesn't show up for maybe an hour into the movie.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking kill you, fuckers.
No, he's really... I was surprised with how good I thought he was. A lot of split screen use. It was like 1968. Felt very experimental. Almost no score. I think I read that there was 22 seconds of total score.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but it's super effective. I loved it a lot.
Nice.
And then Canucksploitation, I had to bail on because I watched this. I watched Live and Let Die, the movie we're going to
talk about. Oh, right. And,
so then last night for Bikers, I watched Dread.
Okay.
Finally. It's fine. it's not, there's such a, we talk about this a million, all the time that people either love a movie or they hate a movie, but there's so many people that love Dread. So maybe I got my hopes up a little too much. I mean, it's fine. It has,
are the people that really love it, the people that read the comic?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It got it right finally, because they had already had one kind of shitty Judge Dredd movie. So maybe if this thing came along and was more like the comic,
maybe. I've read a little bit.
I've read the comic, none. It's been zero.
I got a book at Barnes and Noble.
Okay,
their clearance section. So I read some of it. So I'm still not the right guy to ask. I don't know. Yeah, maybe that is the fan base for it, but
I want to say Dread has been talked about almost more than any other movie in this section of the podcast, because over the last year and a half, each of us has taken a turn seeing it. So every fifth podcast, someone's like, "Yeah, I finally saw Dread. Yeah, it's good. I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
super violent,
right? It's super violent. It's sort of neat. I mean, the story's kind of neat, but yeah, I could take it or leave it.
I need to rewatch it. I liked it just fine.
Fine. I'm not craving a sequel necessarily. But
no, I guess not.
But I don't know. Maybe it wasn't in the movie.
Were there bikers in that movie?
Yeah, he's on a motorcycle.
Oh, all right.
There's a lot of them. They're all riding motorcycles. You said it says in the...
No, of course. I'm just giving you a hard time, but I don't remember that. My big thing about Dread, and I'll repeat this, and there's a spoiler involved, so I can't be too specific, but I feel like the thing that happens with Lena Headey at the end is cool, but ruined by the fact that they do the exact same thing at the beginning.
Yeah,
like, just
point.
Do it the one time, and then we're like, oh, shit. But if you already did it, now we're just seeing a redo of the thing. Whatever.
No, it's a good
point. If you guys have seen it, you'll be like, yeah, of course, you're exactly right. You're sage-like wisdom once again. But if you haven't, you just tune out. Right. And all right, well, cool. Well, I'm glad that you're doing Junesploitation. I'm glad that
it's
you're having
fun.
What's today? Oh, new horror. What are you watching today?
I think, because I keep telling you I'm going to watch it and I haven't yet, I'm going to finally get around to watching Contracted.
Oh, okay.
Your Netflix Instant.
I'll be curious to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, that's.
I've had a few people say they watched it and liked it, and then I've had a few other people say I'm going to watch it, and then I never hear anything, which means they probably didn't like it and don't want to tell me.
Or they could have been like me, and I kept telling you I'm going to watch it. And just
yeah,
never
just like
did.
Like huge liars.
Yeah. Okay. Like when you're like, you should watch Buffy, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get around to that.
Yeah, how's that working out? Though?
I'll let you know.
How much Gunsmoke have you seen?
I've seen way more Gunsmoke.
Like
than
a lot of Gunsmoke, right?
Buffy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Bonanza, Gunsmoke,
Spartacus,
the Rifle. Rifleman.
Oh, good. The Rifleman.
I've seen
all of Spartacus, right?
No, not all of it. Because okay. That is more my wife.
Sure. Yeah, blame her. That's fine.
I'm going to blame her for that one.
But no Buffy. She likes Buffy, though, right?
She does like
Buffy. So she would watch it?
We have zero excuse for not watching. And we even watched, this was years ago. We watched the first season. I really liked it. Then we started season two, and I'm like, oh, man, this shit's really getting good.
Yeah.
And then somehow we got derailed and never went back to it. But
I got a couple things I'll talk about that I did not watch for Junesploitation. Well, I've watched stuff for Junesploitation, and I've had mostly good luck so far.
Okay.
I've been liking, I saw Maniac for the first time. I'd never seen that. I really liked that. I even kind of liked The New York Ripper, which is a Lucio Fulci movie who has left me cold in the past.
Yeah.
It is. Have you ever seen it?
No. I don't know if I've seen a Fulci.
You would know if you had seen a Fulci. It's fucking bonkers. Okay. Like, it is so hateful and awful. It's just a woman is on screen. She gets naked. Maybe she masturbates. Maybe a guy sticks his toes in her vagina. And then she's graphically murdered, usually by being split from vagina to sternum. But the dude killing, he makes phone calls to people, and he literally, does a duck voice. Like, a Donald Duck. I'm not saying, oh, he has this funny voice. It sounds like a, no, he's flat out fucking doing a Donald Duck impression. On every time the serial killer calls, he's like, that is not, I'm not making that up. So, check out The New York Ripper, because it is crazy. It is a crazy movie. But I actually kind of liked it. I rarely have liked a Fulci movie, but that one was okay, yeah. I watched The Heroin Busters, which was a lot of fun. So, I've seen some pretty cool stuff, but then I caught a couple things that I should talk about. Before Junesploitation started, perhaps I was just in the mood. I watched this movie, and I wish I had more information on it in front of me. I know it was called Island of Death, and I think I referenced it in one of the Junesploitation articles, maybe the primer. I don't know, but it's this Greek movie that came out in the 70s, and it's been dubbed into English, and it's about this couple. Well, you think they're a couple. I think it turns out that they're brother and sister. Spoiler, they go to this island, and they start sleeping with and or raping and then murdering everyone. Like, they're trying to purge everyone of sin. And at one point, pretty early on, the dude fucks a sheep or a goat. I think it's a goat. Dude rapes a goat and then slashes its throat for being impure. It's like, fucker, you fucking did that. The goat was fine. You had sex with the goat and now you're going to blame the fucking goat? What is that? Kill your own self. Don't kill. This happens in a movie. And they take it totally seriously. The movie is played straight. It's nuts. So check it out.
Does he have a duck voice?
At no point does he quack like a duck in the movie. So check out Island of Death if you want to see a nutty movie. And again, The New York Ripper, it literally just repeats the same, they bring home a person. He kind of has sex with the girl. Then they kill him. Okay, we get it. And they do that 10 times and then whatever. But it's all done with this crazy voiceover by an American. You could tell just dubbing, whatever. Okay. Then I finally saw Excision. Are you familiar with Excision?
Not at all.
Okay. It is directed by Richard Bates Jr., which you looked up for me. The only reason it had been on my radar, I had seen the cover box maybe, or no, there's no such thing as cover boxes out of the poster art. I don't know. The point is this. Richard Bates Jr. was a guest on Killer POV, which is a horror podcast that we both a lot. And it was a show on high school horror movies. Mm-hmm. And Rob Galuzzo, who I like on the show, he was going on and on about how it's one of his favorite recent horror movies, how much he loves it. And that was reason enough for me to check it out. So I did. And mm-hmm. It's I see a lot of talent there, but it feels like a first movie.
Is it his first movie?
It is. Yeah, okay. It's his first movie. And he just finished making his second, but I haven't seen anything from it yet.
Okay.
It's called Suburban Gothic. A lot of talent, some interesting ideas. It is, for me, Sabotage by the lead performance by Anna Lynn McCord. Are you familiar with her?
No.
Okay. She was on like
my name.
She was on like the 90210 reboot. I know her because she was on Nip Tuck, which is a show that you fucking made me watch.
By the way, I haven't seen Buffy. I've seen all of Nip Tuck.
All of Nip Tuck. Yes. And sent me a text the day the last episode aired and said, like, I feel like the sun is shining for the first time in years because we were so happy to be free of that goddamn show. She was like somebody's daughter or stepdaughter, and she was real skinny and real slutty. And
Yeah, no, I got you now.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
So she is the lead in Excision.
Okay.
And makes a choice to play like weird or awkward. Like okay. They kind of give her some acne and she does this weird vocal affect. None of it works. Like I watched it and I thought of Angela Bettis in May and how well Angela Bettis plays a character who's like, oh, she's a little weird.
Right.
And Anna Lynn McCord seems to be trying to do the same thing, but you never forget that like this is a quote unquote pretty actress trying to be weird.
Right.
Doesn't work. Kind of sabotaged the movie for me.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Then I also saw Among Friends, which is the directorial debut of Danielle Harris. Amongst Friends, the Rob Weiss movie from the 90s.
And that's where I got confused.
Chronicled in Spike, Mike, Slackers, and Dykes. Yeah. Among Friends is Danielle Harris directing a movie with her friends. AJ Bowen is in it. Michael Biehn's wife is in it, and I can't remember her name, and I wish I had IMDb in front of me. Kane Hodder plays a very small role. Group of friends gets together for this 80s themed dinner party. One of them like paralyzes all of them, so they sit around the table, they can't move, and then they have to pay for their sins.
Oh, that sounds like a nightmare to watch.
Whatever.
It makes me uncomfortable. Just
It's fine. Okay. It's not great, you know, and it's not like I expected more from you as a director, Danielle Harris. Like the direction is fine. It's just, is this a story worth telling? And for me, it wasn't really. Okay. Did you see Would You Rather?
No.
Okay. Came out last year, the year before. Very similar premise.
Okay.
Way better movie. And not a great movie, but way better than Among Friends. And I guess that's it. I was going to talk a little bit about Triangle because you and I have spoken of it before.
Oh, is this the first time you'd seen it?
That was the first time I'd seen it. Have you seen it?
I have seen it.
Okay. Christopher Smith, is that correct?
Yes.
I watched it for New Horror Day.
Okay.
Where are you at?
It's been a while, but I think I liked it.
Been a while. do you listen to You Talking You Two to Me?
Oh, no.
But
no.
You're aware of it?
I am aware of it.
Okay. They have this thing where anytime somebody says it's been a while, they go, it's been a while. It's a podcast on Earwolf, everyone. Not that I often promote other podcasts, but it's Scott Aukerman and Adam Scott just talking about you two.
Yeah, I think our very own Eric Ashburslager is a big fan of that.
He very well may be. Yeah. I listened to one episode called Stained Glass where they have Todd Glass on to talk about Stained. And he has never heard a Stained song. He doesn't even know you two. Like they do a bit where they play all these other bands and say, is this you two? And most of it is like the Big Bopper and Buddy Holly. It's ridiculous. Like clearly not you two.
Right.
Peter Gabriel threw him. He was, I think he said yes. And Weezer, he might have said yes. But anyway. Triangle, you're a fan? Yeah?
Yeah, I remember liking it, but honestly, I don't. It's been a while, so I don't know how intelligently I can discuss it.
All right, then we don't have to talk about it.
Did you like it?
I thought it was interesting.
Okay.
No, I don't know that I liked it.
Okay.
But I wrote, I think, in my little write up for New Horror Day, just that. I think I'm the problem, not the movie. Like, there's nothing that I can point to and say, this is wrong with the movie or this is a fault of the movie so much as, like, it's just not for me. But it's well constructed and interesting and not exactly what I was expecting.
Right.
And then I tried to do a little bit of reading after the fact. You know, people have different interpretations of it. And that made it a little more interesting to me.
It usually does.
Yeah, that the movie is trying to be about more than maybe I initially thought.
Right.
But I didn't love it. You know, okay. I probably won't necessarily go back to it.
Right.
But so thanks for raving about it yeah. and wasting my time.
No problem.
Thanks a lot. So here's the craziest thing. We're going to talk about Live and Let Die now. So get ready. Mm-hmm. I had planned out the days for Junesploitation almost arbitrarily. And I don't mean to say that like no work went into it, but I essentially picked out, you know, 27 categories plus a couple free spaces and then just assigned them days. And it just so happened, and independently of this, Mike and I had talked about, well, we need to do another Bond one. So we knew we were doing Live and Let Die next. So we said, yeah, let's do it, you know, this week. This is what works. The point is this. The two things happen independently of one another, but Live and Let Die so happened to fall, the day that this podcast is going to come out just happened to be the day in Junesploitation that is, I think, Blaxploitation.
Yes, it
is. And I was amazed at that happy accident because this is the James Bond Blaxploitation movie.
It sure is.
So I thought, well, great, we could do our Bond show and it still kind of fits in within Junesploitation, but anyone who thinks that that was intentional is giving me way too much credit. I'll let you kick it off. Oh, and talk about Live and Let Die. Just keeping score. You love GoldenEye. You hate The Living Daylights. Go ahead.
Live and Let Die, I think... I'm on record of saying that, despite what Patrick says, Roger Moore is actually my least favorite James Bond. So they're probably the movies I revisit the least. I wish I had more time and had thought of this sooner. I would have loved to have rewatched all the Roger Moores. So I can kind of compare and contrast.
Well, we're going to have to when we get to those. So maybe it's not a good idea to watch them all because that means you're watching Octopussy lot of times.
But I feel like maybe it's middle of the pack Roger Moore for me. I don't think it's a good movie, but it's weird enough that I find it oddly entertaining. Because like you said, it's a blaxploitation movie and it's a fish out of water movie at times. And it's... I think we've talked about this before, that Roger Moore is kind of a creepy James Bond, especially as he gets older. But he's creepy in a different way, and we can go into that later. it's okay, but I find it weird enough and interesting enough that I'm never bored.
I'm bored the whole time.
Are you really?
I don't like this movie at all.
Oh, okay.
At all. And I will say, however, I'm glad it exists. Like, there are a few of these Bond movies that seem to try and chase trends. It didn't happen that often. This is one. I feel like Moonraker is pretty clearly
Absolutely.
One. License to Kill, I would argue, is one where it's kind of being more of an 80s kind of Miami Vice action movie instead of a Bond movie. And I don't think any of those work. But I'm glad they all exist because... Once you get, you know, there's what, 24 Bond movies? When you have a series that's been running this long that has that many installments, it's kind of boring to just say there's 24 Bond movies. They're all basically the same. They're
right.
variations on this, you know, one formula. So I like the fact that a few of them have tried to be this other thing, cynically so, and with little success as far as I'm concerned, because I think... License to Kill is the best of those three, but none of them are what you would call a good movie. So I'm glad that they exist. I'm glad that there is an attempt to make a blaxploitation James Bond movie.
It's bizarre.
So that when I stand back and look at, you know, the body of work as a whole, I can say, oh, this is an interesting little weird experiment. This is an interesting weird experiment, but I don't like them. So I'm glad it exists. I don't like... I can almost say any of this movie. I don't even like the Paul McCartney song as the theme.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
We've talked about this before. Like, if I hear Live and Let Die on the radio, that's fine. I don't mind it.
Right.
It's not. I don't think that it's a bad song. I don't like it as a Bond theme.
Okay. Yeah, no, I guess
and
I
And maybe that's
that.
Just me being... We will continue to hammer this point home, so I apologize if this is... If you've been listening to our other Bond shows, if we are repeating ourselves... Everybody wants different stuff out of a Bond movie. Everybody says a Bond theme should sound like this. A James Bond should act like this. A Bond movie should have these things. There are plenty of people who like the weird paths that Live and Let Die goes down. That like Roger Moore, that think this song is their favorite Bond theme, you know. So I'm not saying anybody's wrong for liking those things. Just for me, I want a Bond theme to sound a little bit different.
I agree that it does not sound like a Bond theme.
Yeah.
I agree. But you're right, it's also one of the Bond songs I would keep on word on the radio.
Yeah. As a song, it's fine. I just don't like it as a Bond theme. And that was going to be the one thing that I could point to is like, yeah, maybe this thing is good. I don't like any of this movie. It has one of my least favorite Bond girls. Jane Seymour?
I'm so torn.
No, she's garbage.
She's so pretty.
Nope.
Yeah,
not feeling it. You know who really? I like better? And I'm going to get her name wrong. I want to say Madeline Smith, and I don't even think that's right. The girl that he's with in the beginning.
Oh, sure.
She's in The Vampire Lovers, and if you want to see more of her, you should see The Vampire Lovers, because I'm just such a fan of her weird, wide-eyed cluelessness in that movie. Like, she accidentally wandered onto a movie set and has never seen a movie and doesn't understand what a movie is. She's literally confused about how to talk in that movie, but she's so pretty that I don't care. She pops up for a few seconds in this movie. This movie, okay. Live and Let Die gets everything wrong. Like, it gets everything. I almost like the opening credits sequence. I don't love the song, but I almost like the opening credits if it wasn't for a James Bond movie. If it was for some weird 70s blaxploitation horror movie, I would be like, oh, that's kind of neat.
It definitely doesn't fit James Bond.
I don't like any of it. There's no cold open.
No.
They get everything wrong. Like, there's no, we get two scenes in the cold open. We get the dude with the thing in his ear going, ah, too loud. And then we get the funeral turned party into opening credits. Like, where the fuck is James Bond?
I think that's what I can't argue with anything you're saying. I agree. Like, none of it.
Good.
None of it works. But like, in a weird way, I think that's what I found so sort of entertaining about it. This time, like,
that it's terrible and delivers nothing that you like.
Yeah,
sure.
Like,
yeah, no, that's
like
great.
I got. Such...
Oh, this pizza is disgusting and tastes nothing like pizza. Pass me another slice.
I got such weird enjoyment out of. Okay, there's what, like three, like chase scenes. These set pieces, right?
Are there? Because that was another thing I was gonna say. I feel like there are zero set pieces.
There's
the chase at the end where we get the sheriff.
We'll get to the sheriff. There's a car chase, and then Bond is driving an airplane. He's not even flying it. And then the boat chase. But what is so funny about those to me was Bond, all he's trying to do is get from point A to point B as quickly as he can. He's not trying to lose any. He's not trying to do any maneuvers. Like, everybody crashes around him and blows up. It has nothing to do with Bond. He's like an accidental James Bond.
He's
like,
fucking Mr. Bean. That's what he is.
He is. Like, everybody, the bad guys got, you know, the guys on motorcycles that don't know how to drive motorcycles. Right. So they're like, I found that.
He could not be less interested in fucking doing anything except scoring pussy in this movie. I swear. And this is always my issue with Roger Moore. And in the better Roger Moore movies, which would be what? Spy Who Loved Me. And I would argue For Your Eyes Only.
Yes.
Although the last time I went back to For Your Eyes Only, it was not as good as I remembered.
Okay.
And I like The Man with the Golden Gun.
Yeah.
And The Man with the Golden Gun is not good. It is silly and weird. But for me, it's the movie that you are talking about. It's like, it's so wacky that I find it entertaining.
Okay.
And again, I've spoken before about Britt Eklund and Maude Adams.
Yes.
That they get me through it.
Yeah.
And Christopher Lee, I mean, there's a lot of things just to like in that movie.
I'm with you.
This is one of my less favorite Roger Moore outings. And I hadn't seen it in a while. This is one that I've seen fewer times than a lot of others.
Sure.
So going back to it was like, oh, I don't remember a lot of this. I just remember not liking it. Literally, the only thing that I really remember, the thing that I associate with this movie is like, oh, this is the movie where Yaphet Kotto inflates and explodes, right? Yep, sure is. Okay, that's what I will take away once again.
Well, how do you feel about him as a Bond villain?
I don't.
There's a part of me that likes that he. Sorry to interrupt. But there's a part of me that likes that he's not trying to take over the world. That it's just. Although, like, honestly, it took me a little bit to figure out what the fuck was going on.
Yeah. Why does he wear a mask for like seven seconds and then can't pull it off to the point where they have to cut away and then cut back and it still isn't coming off?
I know.
Like, just the nose has come off. Like, guys, if you're going to cut away to Bond's reaction shot, use that opportunity to switch out the mask to one that comes off more easily.
Right.
I like him as an actor. I think his performance is fine. Yeah. I don't love him as a Bond villain, and I don't know. I'm not saying, like, hey, more Bond villains should be black, because that's probably unfair. Like, why should it be the villains? Why not make James Bond black? To me, it's just like, oh, the only... And this probably isn't even true. I'm just not taking the time to think through the 23 others. But, like, why is the only prominent black Bond villain in the blaxploitation Bond movie? It's bullshit, right? Same with, like, a Bond girl. I mean, Grace Jones shows up later on, so whatever. Not a fan of Rosie either. Rosie. The Bond girl. The girl in the... she's like the middle Bond girl.
Oh, okay.
She's the bad one that turns out her name. I remember her name because it's my daughter's name. She was named after a character in my least favorite James Bond movie. Okay, so Roger
Moore. My daughter's
name
is Octopussy.
My daughter's name is Christmas. We could keep going. Strawberry Fields? Let's do it. He is not interested in solving a case.
Nope.
He's not interested in stopping bad guys. He's not interested in doing anything except getting pussy. And I hate the fact that, like, from the first time we see him, his first scene, he's in bed with a girl trying to avoid work, trying to hide the fact that he had sex with her. It's like,
which is weird, by the way.
Right. It's this wacky, like, comedy scene. Ooh, you hide in the closet. This isn't fucking James Bond hiding a girl in the closet. And everything about this movie makes me mad.
And he's very rapey in this movie, too.
No, like, not just in this one. But yes, true. What I was saying was that in the better Roger Moore movies, there's less of that. He does seem to, like, maybe give a shit about saving his country or saving the world or whatever, where it's like, oh, he kind of is at least taking the job seriously. Not in this movie.
No.
And my problem with the Roger Moore Bond is that all of his duties as a 007 seem to annoy him and get in the way of having sex.
Right. But he had time to make all those mock lover's cards. Again, to, like, trick her into having sex with him.
Yes.
And then and then Rosie, he bangs her and then tells her, like, by the way, I'm on to you.
And, like, fucking points a gun at her head, like, a lot. That's not cool with the girl that you just had sex with.
Right.
Oh,
such a creep.
Such a creep. And I hate the way that, well, whatever. The Jane Seymour character... The first thing that happens after she has sex with him for the first time, which, you know, takes away her magical powers, because this is the Bond movie where people have magic. The first thing she does is like, I don't care where we go as long as there's another bed, because I got to get me some more of that Roger Moore dick.
I was trying to remember, did the Connery ones, did they attempt the humor that this one?
They got sillier.
I know they got sillier, but this one felt like a...
like outright comedy.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I mean.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't... Even... I always associate, like, You Only Live Twice as being sort of the silliest of the Bond movies, but no, I don't think that they go for... It's jokey, but never, like, a straight-out comedy. It's been a long time since I've seen Diamonds Are Forever.
Sure.
Diamonds Are Forever... might be, like, the closest to a Roger Moore Bond, because Sean Connery is just fucking cashing a paycheck at that point. But I don't think so.
Okay.
This movie is going for jokes all the time.
All the time.
All the time. Even when Yaphet Kotto pulls off the bad rubber mask that only sort of... And I... maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention or whatever. Maybe my head is just in Junesploitation. Like... the whole dual identity thing to me seemed, I don't know, unnecessary.
Yeah.
So he pulls the mask off, and Roger Moore, of course, can't not be a douche, just says, quite revealing. Like, really? Always? Always with the dumb jokes? Always with the dumb jokes. Okay.
He can't not... I'm trying to remember the one at the very end, and spoilers for
That's all right. I already said Yaphet Kotto inflates and explodes, so it's fine.
But when he throws the guy, when he throws the guy at the end out of the window, but his arm is still there, he makes some crack about being disarming.
Hilarious.
It was. I can't
hilarious.
Remember.
So is, to me, it feels like, and this is so not fair that I'm putting all the blame on Roger Moore. The shift is so hard from the Sean Connery Bonds. And again, like I said, that by Diamonds Are Forever, I mean, he was kind of phoning it in, and they had gotten bigger and dumber and sillier. And people liked those Bonds. You know, a lot of people, their favorite Bond is Roger Moore.
I know. I wonder if for a lot of those people, maybe this is unfair, but for a lot of the Roger Moore fans, it's the Bond they grew up with. It's
sure,
there.
But this is the Bond I grew up with. Growing up, like A View to a Kill was the Bond that was on cable, you know? And that's certainly why I'm more forgiving of that movie, but certainly I'm not more forgiving of Roger Moore at all.
Right.
It feels to me like they bring in Roger Moore and he's the one pitching all the shitty one-liners, but I know that's not true. Like, there's a screenplay that he's probably just following, but because the shift is so hard, did they really sit down and say, like, oh yeah, we want James Bond to always say a stupid, shitty thing?
Right.
It feels more to me like Roger Moore is like, guys, wouldn't it be funny if I said, quite revealing? And they're like, yeah, sure, Rog, as long as you're not Sean Connery. We had a bitch of a time with that guy towards the end. The screenplay is by Tom Mankiewicz, who wrote, like, the Superman movies. Mm-hmm. He's written some good stuff. It's directed by Guy Hamilton, who directed some of the best James Bonds.
Including
Goldfinger. So where is the blame? Like, who fucked this movie up? It's not just Roger Moore, even though it doesn't help.
Mankiewicz wrote The Man with the Golden Gun as well, right?
Oh, yeah, I believe you're right. So he certainly has an idea of where James Bond should go, and I'm getting the sense that it's not where you and I would like James Bond to go.
Not at all.
But man, I just do not like this movie.
And it also introduces us to the character of J.W. Pepper.
There it is.
I believe is his
name.
Yeah,
there it is.
Which is amazing to me that they brought him back in a later installment. Which one did he come back?
It's got to be Man with the Golden Gun, right?
I guess so.
We should have done more research, everyone, so I apologize. It's been a while since I saw the Man with the Golden Gun, too. But J.W. Pepper is, like, the worst thing.
He is.
It's like you're watching Live and Let Die, and you feel like, this movie is not good. I'm not liking anything in this movie. And then they bring in J.W. Pepper just to prove that they hate you.
And to make the longest boat chase.
And also
even
super
longer.
Boring.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I felt like there were no set pieces in this movie. And I know that that's not true because you pointed out there are three.
Yep.
Which, by the way, is a little light for a fucking James Bond movie because there's supposed to be one before the opening titles. Like, there's supposed to be a cold open. Even on Her Majesty's Secret Service had that crazy Benny Hill sped up fist fight. And then, of course, he turns to the camera and says, this is another happened to the other fella. And you're like, I'm going to hate this movie. And then it turns out, no, that movie's fucking awesome.
It is awesome.
There is no cold open. There's no set piece at the beginning.
No.
And then there's only three, and they all feel like they're so boring. There's no immediacy to any of them. Like you
and
said,
again,
he doesn't do
anything. He's just trying to get somewhere. Everyone
to have
fucks up
sex
around
with
him.
A virgin. That's his whole end game. Keeps making fake cards so she'll fuck him. She's like 19, right?
I know.
Why does she have magic powers? Magic powers? Because of voodoo? Because they're in New Orleans? Because of black people? Like,
listen, I'm not even saying Solitaire is my favorite Bond girl at all.
Her fucking name is Solitaire.
I know.
Because she has cards.
I'm always...
She's not fucking playing Solitaire. They could have named her Poker, and at least that would have been a sexual entendre.
Oh, what a missed opportunity, Mankiewicz. Just go back to that. I'm just taken back by how damn pretty she was. That's all.
And that's, you know, I certainly don't want to get into the subjectivity of like, well, this woman's attractive and this one's not.
I apologize.
I'm not saying she's ugly. I am not commenting on her physical appearance at all, except that you and I differ in terms of the amount the degree to which we find her pretty, right? All what right. a weird, circuitous way to just be like, eh, not for me, but that's fine. She's a beautiful woman. Good for her.
So Mankiewicz wrote Diamonds Are Forever.
Oh, fucking Mankiewicz is the guy who ruined Bond.
Live and Let Die and The Man with the Golden Gun.
Wow.
So there you go.
I had no idea that he was responsible for two of the shittiest Bonds. Yeah. Three, if you're somebody who hates The Man with the Golden Gun. And I don't blame you for being that person if you are.
But then, yeah, you're right. Then he does Superman 2, episodes of Heart to Heart, and Dragnet.
The remake of Dragnet?
The
Tom Hanks, Hanks one? Yeah. All right. Interesting.
Yeah. There you go.
So this ranks a little bit below episodes of Heart to Heart in Tom Mankiewicz's body of work. Again, people really like Live and Let Die. That's fine. That's great. We want different things out of a James Bond movie. Yeah. I'm trying to find something to say about this movie that I like.
I'm going to find something positive.
I always thought maybe Roger Moore just got worse as he went along because, again, I like The Man with the Golden Gun, and because, for me, he peaks with The Spy Who Loved Me.
Of course.
Like, that's the one where it's like, no, we're going to actually take this seriously. We're going to try and make a good movie. He's going to actually play James Bond. There are stakes. He gives a shit. We give a shit. We're sorry, everyone. So I thought maybe after that is when he really started to just be real shitty. Although it's really just what? Moonraker between that one and For Your Eyes Only?
Yeah.
So I thought he didn't really get shitty and rapey until later on when he was just creepy old man. But like, no, right from the beginning, from his first scene as James Bond, I do not like him.
Right. He's just not creepy old man yet. He's just creepy.
He does not give a shit about anything.
I know.
This makes me crazy. He's James fucking Bond. Like, his goal, his whole thing, his whole function is to save the world, to be the greatest secret agent ever.
You know what would be fascinating is if Timothy Dalton, who I believe was offered the part. No, like, I'm not even making a joke. He was offered the part.
Watch where you tread lightly with whatever you're about to say next.
He was offered the part of Bond, I believe, before Moore.
I believe he was.
Timothy Dalton.
I actually think he was offered before Lazenby, but yes. I might be wrong.
No, I think you're right.
They just kept going back to him.
Right.
And he was like, nope, guys, sorry. Still too young.
But can you imagine
Welsh.
Can you imagine this movie with Timothy Dalton? It would just be very...
Doing all the same lines?
Yeah, that's
in
what I mean.
In the exact same movie?
Yeah, yeah. If it's the exact same movie,
I probably would have hated Dalton. I don't know. Like, is it Roger Moore that I hate, or is it his iteration of James Bond? Is it the Mankiewicz iteration of James Bond? Know.
I feel like it's a little from column A,
Because it turns out, if he wrote Diamonds Are Forever, too, and I haven't, again, like I just said, I haven't seen Diamonds Are Forever in a while, but not a fan, if I remember. And if he wrote that, I don't know. I don't know. His idea of James Bond is like, oh, I'll make it shitty. So what you had said that Roger Moore is your least favorite Bond.
Yes.
He is mine as well.
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
I think for a lot of the reasons that we've talked about. Yeah, you're right. Like he's a I don't give a shit Bond. There's a creep factor that as I get older I'm more sensitive to. I don't know if it's being the father of two girls or what, but like
one of whom you know is a telepath or whatever the fuck Solitaire is. Well, right. She's not a telepath. She sees the future with cards, which your daughter can't quite do, right?
No,
she sees the future, but it's not cards. What was it again that she uses to tell the future?
She uses I can't think of anything. I'm not Doug. You can't put me on the spot.
Yeah, because Doug's daughter can't tell the future. I thought you would want to brag about it. I hear I gave you this forum to be like, guys, listen to what my daughter can do.
No, I'm saving it for a grown-up nerdy column.
I understand. Listen, I know where your fucking priorities are these days.
Yes. Where's it? Oh, okay. Yeah. So he's creepy. He also like, I don't like, I want my Bond to be able to
punch a guy.
Yes.
To do to, anything,
to do anything physical.
Run like, even a 15 minute mile.
Just watching him like in the, I think it's right after the airplane chase. he for a brief second, you see him run.
We're going to do an airplane chase, right? But they're not going to fly. No. Sounds great, right? It's everything you don't want out of an airplane chase.
And Doug would be the one to ask, but like, are hangers, are they slippery for cars? Because, like,
Oh, yeah. No, planes are the only thing that can get traction in a hangar. Soon as you put regular car tires down on that surface, listen, are they made with a similar surface? Yeah, of course. Rubber. Airplane tires, car tires. They're made with the same substance.
But at some point in that sequence, he actually is out of the plane and runs. And I almost turned off the DVD at that point. Like, I can't, he can't run. He doesn't know how to run.
He can't do anything. He can't do anything.
I know.
I would excuse some of it if he literally was the most fuckable Bond. If I saw him and his only concern, his only interest was in, like, trying to have sex. And if I looked at him and I was like, listen... I don't blame him. Like, yeah. Like, if I look like that, I'd probably just want to have sex all the time, too. Or if I felt like, yeah, women are clearly powerless to not to have sex with
absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely.
But, like, he has to go to the trouble of making fake cards so that he can right. kind of rape a 19-year-old Jane Seymour. And so it's not like they're throwing themselves at him. No. I don't... And I really did have a problem with the way he treats Rosie after he has sex with her.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I know we're supposed to be a little more forgiving of some of James Bond's tactics, right? It's not the first or last time that he has sex with sort of the bad girl, the villain
right.
girl. But yeah, the fact that he has sex with her and then says, like, I know who you are and I'm going to fucking shoot you if you don't tell me what I want to know. Is fucked up to me.
Can we talk about Rosie for a second?
Sure. She's adorable.
She is.
Just turned two.
She is. I know.
I love her. Anyway, you were saying.
Yeah. And maybe I'm wrong. So tell me if I am. Is it because she's playing a part? She's actually a bad guy pretending to be a good guy. That she is setting the women's movement back. By, like, she all she does is scream.
Yeah.
And she you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And she just screams and runs into his arms. And
yeah, but
really...
then she runs away from him, but then she died. Right. In a weird fake jungle that's not a jungle. Maybe that scene was shot in a real jungle. To me, it seemed completely artificial.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was just
that.
Yeah, I mean, I have a hard time blaming any one James Bond movie for setting the woman's movement.
Oh, no, I,
back.
Right, and I agree that that's, yes, I...
Remember, your favorite Bond has sex with a woman, like, who has been a victim of sexual abuse and basically a sexual slave for her entire life. And he's like, listen, I'm here. Let's get in the shower. Right. So, I don't know if you should be pointing the finger,
no,
I guess. At any Bond.
No, it's very true. For whatever reason.
My boy T-Daltz is always like, listen, have you had an okay up? You're not a victim in any way,
you're not
right?
A victim.
Yeah, that's not what he sounds like at all.
Maybe we can go out to dinner first.
Nope, nope.
I'll just give you a call. Three dates. You want to wait three dates.
Yes, exactly. He always,
that's fine. I totally understand.
T-Daltz waits the proper three dates before he even makes a move. He doesn't even make
And even
a
then
move.
He asks permission.
Exactly.
You're right.
He's a fucking gentleman. Can't believe you hate T-Daltz.
I don't.
T-Daltz sounds a lot like he would say, you call this going straight, though. I feel like your
you
version.
Call this going straight.
Going steady. You. I don't. Like Roger Moore. So they're trying to do blaxploitation, and here's the thing, and I'm not going to come on and say that, like, I'm a well-versed student of the blaxploitation genre.
Right.
But I've seen more than the regular person.
Yeah.
I've seen my share of blaxploitation movies. I enjoy the blaxploitation movie and the exploitation
sure.
genre in general. The whole thing is so disingenuous. It is so... A version of blaxploitation
okay.
movies that has been interpreted by 60-year-old British white men. Because it seems to be that their take on blaxploitation seems to be, well, there are black people.
Sure.
Probably some drugs. Maybe an afro or two. Sure, let's throw in voodoo as a thing. But other than that, I don't know what about the movie has the feel of a blaxploitation movie at all, except the number of black faces.
That's it, I feel like.
That's so racist. Yeah. Like, we got a bunch of black people? This is our blaxploitation Bond.
Right.
Like,
have them say honky.
Oh, God.
Over and over.
It's super uncomfortable. Again, especially when you literally drop the White Knight into the thing.
Yes.
And make him your savior. Like, even the Bond girl isn't a black character. Like, if you're going to do a blaxploitation movie, fucking pair him up with Coffee and make her awesome.
Yes.
And, okay, here's your blaxploitation movie. But no. Like, Solitaire is a fucking virginal little white girl. And Rosie is really your only strong black female, and she's not strong, as you pointed out, and she dies right away after fucking the White Knight. So how this movie gets, I mean, I understand it gets the reputation as nobody's necessarily holding this up as a good example of blaxploitation. They're just saying, well, Bond does blaxploitation because it's 1973, and that's clearly what they're going for.
Yeah.
As a blaxploitation movie, it's terrible.
Yeah.
As a Bond movie, it sucks. As a movie with a beginning, middle, and end, it's not very good.
No.
So what? I guess it's good as a PR reel for Roger Moore. I think it got him his next job, which was also James Bond.
So would you not, if you're flipping through the channels and this movie's on, do you not keep it on?
I don't think I do.
Okay.
And maybe I'm a liar, because maybe I do, because it's James Bond. And almost any James Bond movie I land on, I would leave on, at least for a couple minutes, unless anything better was on. But I almost feel like I don't. And let me ask you this. Where do you rank this? This is not your least favorite Roger Moore.
No, like I said, I thought maybe middle of the pack, but it's been a while since
what's at the bottom?
I don't know. I always think Moonraker...
I would watch Moonraker before I would watch this movie. Which isn't necessarily saying that Moonraker is a better movie.
Right.
I have more fun with Moonraker.
Okay.
Like, Moonraker gets so ridiculous by the end, and maybe it's just... I don't know. I would put Moonraker on before I would put this movie on again.
See, I feel like this movie's so goddamn ridiculous.
It is, but it's like, it's ridiculous in... shitty, boring ways. Like, it's ridiculous when you and I sit down and say, oh, and can you believe that they try to do this or that they include this? And we didn't really go back to what's his name, and maybe we don't have to. Sheriff Buford.
Okay, yeah, no.
T. Redneck. But
I could say this. Like, maybe it's because I haven't seen... It's been a while since I've... It's been a while since I've seen...
I'm stealing another podcast joke. I feel horrible about that.
Hey,
I shouldn't do it.
Yeah, so maybe it had been too long since I'd seen this, so I was surprised. I remember liking it more than I did this time around, but I was very surprised, like I said, with how terrible a Bond he is.
Yeah.
I don't know why that surprised me.
I thought
me,
he got worse. No, he sucked from his first scene.
So I found that weirdly entertaining throughout, because it never got any better, and that sort of kept me on the edge of
my
seat.
In this movie, you mean?
Yes, okay. Yes, yes. It kept me on the edge of my seat.
Because he gets better as a Bond.
Sure.
Or the movies get better. Maybe Roger Moore doesn't get better? I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, he must, right? I don't think The Spy Who Loved Me gets so much better as a movie without Roger Moore at least bringing his A game.
Right, I agree. So maybe like, you know, if I, the next time around, having just gone through the experience I went through, I wouldn't get very far, and I would hate it. But I don't hate it.
You don't hate it. Aside from
it,
like,
it.
Okay, this
like...
movie's wacky, you know, like you said, or just this movie's crazy. That's one. And Jane Seymour is pretty.
I'm
serious. What? No. What does this movie have going for?
No, that's about it.
Better or worse than The Living Daylights?
Oh, it's worse than Living Daylights.
Okay.
I don't dislike...
Which would you rather
watch? I would watch The Living Daylights.
All right. So far, you're doing okay.
Yes.
So far, your answers are okay. Listen, if you are somebody who's listening to this and you really like Roger Moore for reasons other than, like you had said, Mike, he's the Bond that you grew up with.
Yep.
please tell us why. Yes. And I'm not saying that, like, defend your fucking choice. I'm saying, what is it that you like about him as Bond? And maybe it's, oh, he's a lot like the Bond in this version of the books. And I've said again and again, I haven't read the books. Quick plug, by the way, for a book, because always I'm getting on this fucking podcast whenever we talk about a movie that's based on a book or books in general, I'm like, I haven't read it. And I sound like a fucking Philistine who does not read. I swear to God, I'm reading all the time. It just, they're usually books about movies or Little Girl Lost by Drew Barrymore. No, the point is this. The new Stephen King book movie. I almost said the new Stephen King book movie. The new Stephen King book, Mr. Mercedes, came out this week.
And
I'm about 200 pages in.
And
I fucking love it.
Yeah. Like,
Stephen King, that's a lot of time, has problems sticking the landing, so I'll check back maybe next week when I've finished it. I love it.
That's
I
good just, to hear.
He's so great. And he does this thing, and he does it all the time, and I should be irritated with it, because I know a lot of people that don't like Stephen King just blame him of being repetitive, or accuse him of being repetitive. And he is. I mean, I recognize he does a lot of, if you read a lot of his books, as I have, a lot of the same stylistic things come up, and a lot of the same motifs come up again, like, oh, the bad guy who gets headaches and wants to have sex with his mother. Okay. But
me?
He's so great at doing this one thing, and this is such a departure from Live and Let Die, but I gotta talk about something I like. Where he'll throw a line into a paragraph that hints at something horrible to come. It's so casual. He shook the man's hand with his arm, having no idea that it would be ripped off an hour later. And then they went about their day. And you're like, wait, what? What did you fucking just say, Mr. Subliminal? He's so great at it, and he does it a bunch.
Well, that's good.
That's it. Anyway, everybody read Mr. Mercedes. Please don't say Live and Let Die. No, but for real, if you are somebody who... I have not read the Fleming books, but if for some reason the Roger Moore Bond is a lot like that character, I do not think that's the case. I'm pretty sure it's like the Connery Bond, and a lot of people say the Timothy Dalton Bond,
right,
that you hate so fucking much, say that they're more like the Fleming Bond. But what I don't know, what does Roger Moore have? I mean, they clearly wanted to go in a different direction.
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, maybe the Moore fans, they like the how light it is, or they like, I mean, I don't know.
Right.
I can't speak to it, but
his movies are bigger, I guess. Although the Connery movies had kind of gone that way. Certainly. Yeah. Like you said, lighter, sillier. And again, as somebody who's a fan of the series, I'm glad that this period exists. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, as just a different chapter in the ongoing saga of James Bond. And I could say, oh, there was this run, and I didn't really like it. And they tried to do this with the character, and they did this with the movies, and I'm not a fan of any of it, but I'm glad it's there.
Sure.
Sometimes I'm sure I'm in the mood for a Roger Moore Bond, you know?
I feel like I'm always in the mood to give Roger Moore a spin until I do.
He's clearly it's better than I remember, right? So if you want to watch a Roger Moore Bond, which one do you put on first?
Spy Who Loved Me.
Really?
No, I would think so.
Yeah.
I like For Your Eyes Only. But yeah, it's been a while since I've seen them.
It's been a while.
I remember liking View to a Kill. Am I crazy?
Yeah. No, and by the way, I put it on all the time.
Okay.
It's not good.
Okay.
Like, in almost any way, it's bad.
It seems to be what I respond to.
The bad?
Yeah.
It's certainly not the good, because you watch Living Daylights, you're like, it doesn't do much for me. So it's certainly not good that you're going for when you watch a James Bond movie.
It's true.
I definitely put on View to a Kill, and it's like super 80s. I mean,
yep.
I know people really like Christopher Walken as the villain, but he's playing generic Bond villain, you know?
Right.
Grace Jones certainly brings a little bit of crazy, but Roger Moore is like super old.
Yeah.
It's like watching like some late period Steven Seagal shit where it's just like, oh, great work, stunt doubles. watching him ride around on the back of a fire truck trying to rescue, who I assume is his granddaughter, Tanya Roberts. is an embarrassment, and none of it works. But I totally will put that one on.
Are you going to work on your Christopher Walken impression before we get to that movie?
Of the two of us, you will be doing a Christopher Walken. You are much more the Rich Little than I am. Mike does pretty solid impressions, everyone. Do not let him tell you otherwise. I do no impressions.
I do Dennis Miller.
That is so not a Dennis
Makes
Miller.
You laugh every time.
Well, it's because you're laughing at its shittiness.
I guess.
I wonder what Dennis Miller would have to say about living that time. I'm not going to do it, guys. It seemed like I was going to segue right into
I wonder what Dennis Anakin Skywalker is.
Is there anything else that you like about this movie?
No.
Because I feel like we didn't say that much about it. And I'll be honest, guys, when we choose a movie to do for a podcast, I typically try to say something about that movie. I like to provide content, things to think about. I feel like I haven't done it in this case.
No,
because
it even helped.
Right. And I was halfway predicting just spewing out a lot of rage and bile towards Roger Moore, and I can't really even get that worked up.
Well, because if he can't get worked up to be James
right?
Bond,
and maybe that's
well,
what it is. Maybe that's he's so fucking smug and boring as James Bond. I just like okay. Pierce Brosnan comes on the screen for the first time as James Bond. And again, maybe he's just given better material to work with, right? But the first time we see
part of it.
The first time we see Pierce Brosnan as James Bond, it seems like somebody sat down and said, like, okay, we're really trying to put this new guy over. We want people to like him as James Bond. Let's give him some shit to do. So the first time we see him is in that sequence that opens GoldenEye, which is a pretty cool set piece.
Yep.
It's an action scene where he's trying to rescue his friend. He's trying to save the world. He blows up like a whole fucking thing. It's pretty badass, right?
Yep.
Lazenby at least gets to punch some people out on the beach. Like, at least right. He gets a fist fight.
Daniel Craig straight murders someone.
Well, that's what Daniel Craig does when he's not sleeping with sexual slaves.
God, I can't wait till we get to Casino Royale.
What I don't remember. It's been a while since I've seen the first scene of Casino Royale. What is the first scene of Casino Royale?
When he needs like one more kill to get his 00.
It's judged on murders. Is Jason Voorhees a 00? Wait, is that really how you get to be a 00?
Like well,
once
no,
you kill 200 people,
no,
we will 500 and we'll fucking knight you.
All right, maybe you'll have to edit this part out. I don't remember, I feel like he needs one more.
Okay,
yeah,
is it the black and white
scene?
Where
yeah,
he
yeah,
like,
it's
okay.
A black and white scene.
Yeah,
in the bathroom. And
yeah, it's fine. It shouldn't be black and white. That's irritating, but whatever. I'll listen. If you want to get to Casino Royale, we'll do it.
Let's do
it. Do you want to do that one next, or do you want to do Dr. No, or that's...
Or Honor Majesty.
Or Honor Majesty, yeah. No, I don't think we should do Honor Majesty's Secret Service.
Okay.
So it's going to either be Casino Royale or Dr. No. You want to do Casino Royale?
Yeah.
Okay. It's been a while for me. I may end up shitting on it. I don't think I will. I like Casino Royale. But so yeah, his first appearance. I mean, clearly, they engineered it to like be cool, right?
Yep.
Pierce Brosnan's pretty badass. Timothy Dalton's is badass. You know, it's that sort of almost like training op gone awry. And
right.
But even the first shot of him, I mean, you can't deny is like pretty badass of Timothy Dalton. Like they definitely said, this is our first shot of him as Bond. We want it to be memorable. We want it to be cool. We want it to count. Roger Moore is what, like laying in a bed?
Yes.
Like
he's laying in bed.
He's laying in bed. It's a fucking metaphor for his whole run as James Bond. The fucking guy can't even get out of bed to be James Bond.
He's so annoyed
for the first shot. Just like, yeah, no, guys, I'm just going to lay down here. Just you film me. I'll be laying down. It's fine. I'm James Bond.
Oh,
what are you going to take it away from me?
Oh, that's great.
There's nothing good about even his first shot as James Bond.
No. I was wondering watching this, like, do we know why he was cast? Was he a star at the time? Like,
well, he had done The Saint. Do I have that wrong? Wasn't he The Saint?
Oh, maybe.
So he had done something that was similar to James Bond.
Like, is he Johnny Bravo? Does he just fit the suit? Does he have, you know, physically, does he look like a James Bond? Is that what?
I don't know. I mean, again, I recognize that I guess he's handsome and British and seems not necessarily the most cultured, but the most, like, quote unquote, sophisticated. Like,
yep.
You think he might order something expensive
right.
or fancy off of a menu. I don't know. Yeah, I think they were going for a certain kind of, like, sophistication, but with that comes...
Does he pay for his date? Like, when Roger Moore goes out on a date, is he like, I'm gonna pick up the tab because she's gonna be impressed with it? Or is he like, listen, we're going halvesies on this?
No, I think he picks up the tab.
Okay.
Yeah. But then I think he also, like Timothy Dalton does it. Because, like, he's just a good fucking dude.
Right, yeah.
He's just like, listen.
That's what you do.
That's what you do. You pick up the tab.
Listen, Roger Moore, I'm going to give you my number. Like, I want, it's fine. Like, if you want to call me, like, then it's fine. Anyway, go ahead.
I really hope your Timothy Dalton comes back on more podcasts. Maybe not even Bond podcast.
I think it's more Edgar Wright than
why didn't Timothy Dalton get a chance to direct Ant-Man?
He was next in line. They'd gotten through everybody.
They're like, no, you guys, call it off. Peyton Reed accepted. Poor Timothy Dalton is just waiting by his phone. Anyway.
For either the girl to call or for Marvel to call.
So Roger Moore, yes, he picks up the tab. And then he says something about it later on, like, not in a menacing way, but, like, he definitely wants the girl to know that, like, she owes him something.
Yeah, okay.
But he says some fucking clever pun.
Right.
It's not like, listen, you owe me. But it's kind of like, listen, right. You owe me for buying dinner. Whereas Dalton... There are no expectations.
No, none at all.
He did this out of the goodness of his heart and because he's a fucking gentleman.
The conversation alone was worth it. I feel like I could tell you anything. We just met.
I hate Roger Moore. I fucking hate Roger Moore as Bond. I don't know why they cast him. They were going a different direction. They wanted a Bond who was only interested in sleeping with women, racking up his numbers. Anyway, I guess, are we done?
I'm done.
We're good?
I'm good.
We're finished?
Please.
Okay, cool. So the next time we do this, we're going to do Casino Royale.
Yeah.
So everyone, stay tuned for that. And I'm sorry if you love Live and Let Die. Great. Good job. Continue to participate in Junesploitation. Watch something better than Live and Let Die for Blaxploitation Day. Or watch this and weigh in on what you think. And thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening. We will see you guys next week. I don't know yet what the show is going to be, so I can't announce it. But thank you guys very much. Mike, go ahead and take us out.
It's been a while.